dinner on the grounds, and you know, there's hubby, and Julie makes a great scallop thing. I don't know what that thing is, but it don't last long around here, amen. And women find out their husband likes something, and they like to get a recipe for it, amen, and please their husband, and that's a blessing. And well, I'm going to give you a recipe this morning. This is something that Lord gave me a very, very long time ago, and I think it'll be a help to you. I pray it will be. For those that like titles, it's titled Good, Better, Best, or more specifically, Motives for Service Recipe. And it's after salvation that we learn works, of course, come after your salvation, right? I mean, that's Baptist or Bible 101. We understand that. And D.L. Moody said this, before my conversion, I worked. Let me stop right there. That's religion. I just want to remind you folks this morning that this is not a religion you're involved in here this morning. Religion is death. Religion is involved with works. We espouse here a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we espouse here, and that's what we our prayer for every one of you. And the Bible says the will of God for every one of you this morning, amen, is that all would come to repentance. Amen? That none should perish. And that's the will of God in your life. But D.L. Moody was caught up in religion. He said this, before my conversion, I worked towards the cross. But since then, I worked from the cross. Then I worked to be saved. Now I work because I am saved. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Of course, God does everything decently and in order, and he covers salvation in verse 8, of course. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Then, of course, he covers that works thing in verse 9 there. But in verse 10, here sadly is the part where most Christians, I don't know, they seem to be okay with verse 8 and even verse 9, but very few Christians get a hold of verse 10. And verse 10 here in Ephesians chapter 2 says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Amen. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you for these folks that come out here this morning. Father, if there's somebody here who is not saved, has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, can't remember a time ever in their life where they realized that they were a sinner on their way to a devil's hell, and never remembered a time where they called upon Jesus Christ simply to come into their heart and save their soul, and it could be very well, very likely this morning that they're not saved. And Father, I pray you'd send the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they'd see that religion is just a system of works, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will save their soul and give them a peace in their heart that passeth all understanding. Father, if there's somebody here this morning that is not saved, that has not been scripturally born again, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. And Father, for the rest of us in here, we're saved. What next? Lord, what next? And we follow your perfect order here, salvation in verse 8. And Lord, in verse 10, what comes after salvation but service? And Lord, I pray you'd help me to, as best I can, give out this recipe this morning that might help some people, Lord, to stay in the fight. There's a falling away occurring, Father, and it's we haven't even seen the main body of that falling away yet, but we can see it. We're great men. I know men 100 times better than me, and no doubt probably loved the Lord 100 times better than me, are now gone. They've fallen. And Lord, it scares me. It scares me for me, and it scares me for the folks here. And Lord, I pray this recipe be a blessing to them, that it might help them. Lord, do what I cannot do, and that's preach. Lord, do what I cannot do, and that's convict. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would have free course, free will, have his will and his way with the hearts of your people this morning. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Help us, Lord, this morning to leave different than when we came. For if not, this meeting is in vain. And Lord, I pray that we just not be challenged this morning, but that we'd be changed. And Lord, only you can do that. I am powerless in that area. So Lord, we're going to trust you for a great work this morning. And we'll ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Besides the obvious doctrinal understanding with regards to Moody and understanding that faith was without works, Moody realized that he worked, amen, because when he came to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Lord Jesus Christ actually did for him in saving him from hellfire, then Moody felt an obligation to pay a debt he could never pay. And that ought to be the same obligation for you and I this morning. Amen. You'll never repay Jesus Christ for what he did. But let me tell you something, you can have a blast trying. Amen. The Christian walk is a blast. The Christian walk is not drudgery. Amen. Listen, I've had the time of my life in my Christian walk.
Amen.
I've been all over this world so many times, I've lost count of them. I would have never done that without Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. He's given me opportunities to preach to women on death row that are dead now. Amen. Because they kill them over there. I mean, he's given me opportunities to do things that I could have never done outside of Jesus Christ. Listen, the Christian walk is one of the greatest things. Being in the Lord's army, being in the service for God is one of the greatest things. And listen, you ought to have a desire to repay Jesus Christ, knowing you'll never come close. But boy, you can have a blast doing it, amen? You can have a blast doing it. Moody realized Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, which says, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And might I say, I'm looking at a bunch of peculiar people this morning. Zealous of good works. Amen. Moody realized he was bought for a price. He realized he was not his own. He was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ who longed to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful. You know what Jesus Christ was looking for? He's looking for a few good men and women. But you know what he's really looking for? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Amen. He's just looking. Listen, Paul gets to the end of his ministry. He's gotten a snot beat out of him, 193 stripes, and in the waters, in the deep, in the dark, and all the things. He was killed at Lystra, and God revives him, and he marches right back in. And Paul had a death wish. We know that. He got a glimpse of that third heaven and spent the rest of his life trying to get back there before God was ready to go get him back there. Amen. And Paul realizes, you know, all that stuff. And at the end there, he's bloodied. And I was watching a documentary last night on the famous fight, Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. Who remembers it? 1980. I know, I'm looking at a bunch of people who weren't even born in 19. Stop it right there. Double church probation already. Amen. And it was the rematch between Sugar Ray and Roberto Duran. And in the eighth round, the bell rings. And in the eighth round, Roberto Duran, they come out. Sugar Ray hits him with an overhand right. And Roberto Duran turns his back in the middle of the round, unprecedented in the history of boxing, in the middle of the round. And he yells, no mas, no mas. And the ref comes running over and says, Roberto, put up, fight, fight. And he says, no mas again. And the fight was over. He quit. In the middle of the fight, in the middle of the round, for the light heavyweight championship of the world, with millions of people walking, he turned his back on Sugar Ray Leonard and said, no mas, and quit and walked out of the ring. Is that going to be you this morning? I hope not. I hope not. I hope not. And that's exactly what Paul bloodied and just standing there after all that. And three times in his last chapter, he says, stand, stand, stand. Amen. And I want to give you a recipe, Lord willing, this morning, and take a moment and discuss your motive for your services, amen. And as Christians, and I'm talking those that serve, and I praise the Lord that here in this dinky little church, amen. We got so much going on that there's no excuse for anybody to serve. And I realize we got babes in Christ here, people just getting right with the Lord, coming back into the fold. Listen, no pressure on you this morning, amen. But you ought to, at least as you're moving down the road, you ought to start getting a desire to serve. But for the rest of us in here, amen, get on board. I'm sure Lou right now would say, hey, we need more people. We would love to have more people come down to the nursing home ministry. You say, well, I don't preach. I don't do this. You know what they need down at the nursing home? They need somebody to stand next to some little old lady and whisper in her ear, I love you. And sing a song with them. And turn the hymn pages for them. That's all they need. Amen? Listen, we got so much going on here with the youth group, amen, and could always use some help there. In fact, we want to talk to the youth group, talking to Randall, just some more ideas, amen, and we'll get with that. Somebody remind me, amen, and now's not the time for that, but I mean, listen, there's just ministries. I'd love to have more people come to prison. Amen. You say, well, maybe that's not your boat. Okay, well, we got street preaching. We got door knocking coming up. Amen. We got all, listen, we got somewhere for you in this church. Amen. So I'm talking to Christians that are serving, and Christians that are serving, there's a natural progression that's going to go through that service, and that's what I want to give you this morning. An NFL quarterback, if he's going to be a success in the NFL, he has to learn to go through what's called a progression, all right? And every play for, I say every play, most every passing play that is drawn up by a coach, the quarterback is going to drop back in his pocket, amen, and he's going to have a primary receiver. That's the plays drawn up for the primary receiver. And there's going to be a secondary receiver. And there's going to be what's called a safety valve. And the quarterback's going to drop back. And the good quarterbacks are the quarterbacks that can slow the game down, let the game come to them. And the good quarterbacks are the ones that can go through the progression, go through the checks. He drops back. He's looking for the primary receiver. The primary receiver, it's a timing pattern. The primary receiver got bumped at the line. He's not open. So he checks down the progression to the second receiver, the tight end coming across the middle. But he gets hung up. He gets bumped at 5 yards, and he gets hung up. Well, there's a running back that dropped back on the snap of the ball, and what he's going to do is he's going to block, but then he's going to the safety valve. So the quarterback checks off primary, checks off secondary. Nobody's open. The running back is bumped off. He's the safety valve, and he dumps it to him for a modest gain, or sometimes maybe he can take off with that thing. But there's a progression that happens with that quarterback. And you know what? I call it the graduation effect. And there's a progression with regards to the service of the Christian that if you don't follow this progression, in fact, the first two I'm going to bring up is where the majority of Christians live and then sadly die. If you don't make it through that progression and check to that safety valve, chances are you're going to fall. And as I said earlier, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, there's a falling away coming. And I'm telling you, the Christian has not seen it yet. Christian's not seen it yet. And let me stop right there. This isn't part of the message and say this. You better get your eyes off man. And you better get them on the Lord. Amen? You got your eyes on a man. Get your eyes off me. I'm a wicked, wicked man. I may fall tomorrow. You know, it would be tragic if I fell in that effect. I know it would affect people, but if I fell and it truly destroyed people. Bible says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. That's Jesus Christ. That's the person you ought to mark. That's the person you ought to keep your eyes on. Amen? But it just is what it is. We keep our eyes on man. And you better watch that. You better watch that. There are three motives for why you and I do what we do for him. And good, better, or best, or more specifically, the good is fear. Here's the recipe. The good is fear, the better is duty, and the best is gratitude. So just give me a minute here, and I'm going to go through these, and we'll finish up. The first one in this graduation effect, in this progression for a Christian, he gets saved, amen. Oftentimes, a Christian, if he's been led to the Lord the right way, and I say that because tragically, in these end days of Laodicea, we have this easy believerism that's come through. Amen. And a lot of Christians today, tragically, are being saved to heaven instead of saved from hell. And I'm telling you, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And the Christian that understands truly what Jesus Christ did in saving him from hell is going to be more apt to readily serve Jesus Christ and try to pay a debt he cannot pay than the Christian that gets fire insurance. Often the Christians that are saved to heaven and got saved in this easy believerism garbage with no dealing of their sin, with no dealing of judgment and of hellfire, oftentimes those are the flowery Laodicean Christians that never do a thing for Jesus Christ. But fear is good. Fear is good. Every Christian begins his service with fear, and this is okay to start. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Christian, I'm telling you this morning, it's okay if you start a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ out of fear. Fear is good. You ought to fear God, amen? You ought to fear God. You ought to fear His commandments. You ought to fear the fact that, listen, you all could take a moment this morning. Here you are. You're clothed and in your right mind this morning, hopefully. And you're saved, hopefully. And why don't you take a moment this morning and think about how many times you should have died? How many times should you have been dead before you got saved? I want you to think about that. And you know what you think of? God's mercy. God's mercy on you. And now you're saved. And I'll tell you what, fear is a great motivator. And it's okay to serve God out of fear. But folks, I'm telling you right now, if it stays there, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verse 12, I think I want. And of course, I know doctrinally we're talking with Israel here, and doctrinally, of course, we're dealing with the Ten Commandments, and the law was death, and I get that this morning. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to what? Walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. You get saved and God tells you to work that thing out, and you ought to work it out with fear and trembling. And I'm telling you this morning, it's okay to serve God. It's okay to get involved in a ministry just because you fear God and you fear His judgments. Amen. It's okay to do that. But you and I serve with liberty. We have liberty. But yet Acts chapter 9 and verse 31 says this, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. See, we have that peace that passeth all understanding. But listen, doesn't the Bible say walk circumspectly? That'll put some fear in you. Amen. That'll put some fear in you. Listen, fear is good. Fear is a good motivator. But even fear can wane and can wax cold. I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. How many of you fear God? Okay, I'm setting you up, but I'm raising my hand too. I'm setting myself up, okay? How many of you willfully still sin? You know what that tells me? We definitely don't fear God like we should. Listen to me. If you fear God and His judgments and you read that Bible and you see how God executes upon sin and what He does with sin and at the judgment seat of Christ, how there's going to be the bonfire of the vanities as your wood, hay, and your stubble goes through that thing, and you look at Hebrews chapter 12 as we looked at Wednesday night and you see the chastisements of the Lord, if you really, really, really feared God like you think you do, you'd sin a whole lot less, and so would I. So you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying fear can wax cold. It can wane. It can do it. It can do it. Let's face it. It can do it. Fear is a good motivator, but even fear can wane. Let me tell you this. What we need to do is we need to go down and progress to the next thing. And the next thing, the next natural progression that goes from fear is duty. Now, fear is good. Duty is better. The motto for West Point and the motto for the United States military is duty, honor, country. And when you and I got saved, and listen, whether you realized it or not, but when you get in that Bible and you realize over there in 2 Timothy that you and I are a soldier for Jesus Christ, amen, you realize that you and I, when you got saved, you signed up for the Lord's army, amen, and listen, you're going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, amen, duty becomes the natural progression from fear as we serve the captain of our salvation. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It goes from fear. Then you get in your book. You get a little bit of Bible in you. You get a little bit of preaching in you. And listen, you realize some things. Amen. You realize, wait a minute, I'm in the Lord's army here. You realize, oh, my soul, he's given me a weapon. Amen. And listen, cursed is the man that keepeth his sword from blood. Amen. Listen, I got a job to do. I got to do something. And it moves from fear and it goes on to duty. And duty is better, amen, and duty is honorable, amen. Let's do this for the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of God. And man gets in that Bible and he reads over there in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16, where it says, preach the gospel to every creature, amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And man gets a hold of this and he says, man, I need to serve God and I need to do it out of duty. I feel a sense of duty. I mean, he's the captain of my salvation, amen. And I'm in the Lord's army there. He's given me a sword and I need to win souls for Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, it's all good. Amen. He gets in the book and he realizes there's duty. But you know what? His service is one of duty, but even service by duty is flawed. Jeremiah preaches for how many years? How many converts did Jeremiah see? Zero. Noah preaches for 120 years. How many converts did Noah see? Zero. Jesus Christ preaches for all those years. He had 5,000. Then he had 4,000. Then they all forsook him and fled. He's got zero, big fat zero, except for one that snuck around and followed. And then at the end of that thing, there's what, 120 or something in the upper room. Amen. Listen, by most missionary board standards today in fundamental churches, Jesus Christ was a failure and they wouldn't have supported him for 1 month on the field. You say, what are you saying? Oh, duty's wonderful, it's honorable, and let's do this for the Lord, and it's what the scriptures said, but it's flawed, you see, because you know what happens to man? He gets discouraged. Preacher gets up and he preaches Sunday after Sunday and tumbleweed rolls on the aisles and it doesn't look like the heavens are brass and it doesn't look like God's doing anything in the church and he goes to other ministries and nothing's going on and more people are leaving than coming and all that stuff and he gets discouraged and what does he do? He comes in and he resigns the church and he quits. Amen. He gets a ministry. He's going to go out and he's going to go out on the street and he's going to do that. But all they're doing out there is throwing beer cans at him, giving him the middle finger and telling him where to go. Amen. And threatening to turn his kids in and all that. Haven't seen anybody. Nobody seems to be responding the right way. And is this worth it, Lord? This is a mess and all that. Gets discouraged. And guess what? Falls away. And how many, listen, I can't hide behind anymore. I can't hide behind the fact I used to, for years, I probably hid behind it more than I should have here about how I'm just a wet behind the ears novice here. But, you know, Kathy reminded me, hey, we're about 11 years into this thing. I can't hide behind that anymore. But you know what? I seen some things. I seen people come into this church gung-ho with a ministry and, hey, give me that and let me take the reins on that thing and I'll take that thing. I won't let you down, preacher. I won't quit. Should have gotten that on recording. And they quit. They got discouraged and they quit and they fell away. And before you know it, then they're totally out of church. You say, what happened? Fear is good, amen? Fear is a motivator, but it'll wane, it'll wax cold. Duty is honorable, it's wonderful, but it's flawed. There's a progression, and it's got to move to this, folks. It's got to move to gratitude. It's got to move to gratitude. That's the best. This is what D.L. Moody was really saying in his quote when he said, "Then I work to be saved. Now I work because I am saved." As Moody grew in the Lord, he realized what Jesus Christ actually did for him. Do you this morning? I wonder this morning, I want to take just a brief moment here in between the sound of my voice to allow you to think for a moment. Do you really honestly understand what Jesus Christ did for you? Because that'll fill you with gratitude. You realize that man set aside heaven, the third heaven, and came down here and allowed himself to be destroyed so you can avoid hell. For you, personally, for you he did that. Do you realize that this morning? I know Paul did. Paul's one that went, listen, you want to do a neat study? Do a neat study on this graduation effect here. There's several men that you can see obvious. It's obvious in the scriptures. Paul is one of them. Paul, no doubt, starts serving God out of fear. Hey, you would too when a bright light shines on the road to Damascus. And then out of duty, right away, Paul is preaching, and right out of that, out of duty. But then somewhere along 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul just blurts out, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Somewhere around there, gratitude settled in with Paul. And that's why Paul was able to say that he finished his race. You want to finish your race this morning? Listen, you want to be one of those that are standing all bloodied at the end of this thing? I mean, it may get so bad, we're just standing at the end of this thing. You want to be one of those things? You better move through that progression. You better get the gratitude. You better get the, because fear ain't going to cut it, and neither is duty. It's not going to cut it. You better move through that progression, that graduation effect. You better get down to gratitude. You better realize what Jesus Christ did for you. And listen, it ought to excite you to try to pay a debt you know you can't pay. And when you truly grasp what Jesus Christ did for you, it will fill you with thankfulness, which then manifests itself through service. And Christians who reach the final progression, the graduation effect of gratitude, will not fall away. It will stick. It will cause the Christian to stick by the stuff through thick and through thin. Through discouragement. Just the love of God alone will keep you through discouragement. When the fear waxes cold and you're sinning and you're saying, "I can't believe I'm doing that. I can't believe I'm sinning. I can't believe that." And you just want to quit because you feel you're unworthy. You're unworthy to do anything for Jesus Christ. The fear won't be enough. But when you get to this gratitude, you'll make it. You'll make it. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Maybe you're serving tonight, this morning, out of fear. Hey, no problem. Good. It's all good. It's all good. But it better progress. And the natural progression is to go from fear to duty. And duty's better. Duty's better. It's honorable. Hey, God's excited because you're getting it from the preaching or you're getting it from the Bible. And listen, isn't it wonderful that you don't need the church to hand out a tract? Amen. Amen? You don't need the church. You don't need the pastor to tell you to hand out a tract or the evangelist. You say, "Where'd you get it from?" The Holy Spirit in your Bible reading. And you got that thing and you're doing it all on your own. And that's wonderful and that's duty. But it's flawed. You need graduation to gratitude. Hebrews chapter 9, look at me in verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once, bye-bye Roman Catholicism, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Says it all, doesn't it? You know what the Bible says? Turn to Romans chapter 1. You know what the Bible says? Here's something interesting for you to think about. I'm talking about gratitude. I'm talking about the natural progression. You need to get to gratitude. You don't want to quit? Listen, nobody wants to quit. If I asked you to raise your hand, everybody say, "Preacher, I don't want to quit." Some of you, you'd be emphatic about it. "I ain't going to quit, praise God." Man, if we all had a dollar for every time that. You don't want to quit? I'm giving you the recipe this morning. You don't want to quit? It's got to come to gratitude. It's got to come. Listen, you say, "What are you doing?" I'm boiling it down to this: a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If my preacher goes off and plays the whore, or the preacher's wife goes and plays the drunkard, or the deacons go and play this, or some superstar in the church flames out and all that stuff, bless God, I'm going to keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. If you got to step over the bodies, pick some up that you can pick up. But if you got to step over the bodies, you're going to move forward for Jesus Christ. You say, "What's it going to take?" It's going to take a heart of gratitude. It's going to take you understanding what Jesus Christ did for you. Look at Romans chapter 1. The Bible says that the apostasy, just not in the world, but with Christian, begins. You know what it begins with? A lack of gratitude. The whole steps. You want to study this. We're not going to go into this morning. You want to read about the step. I'm giving you the recipe for service. You want to read the steps of Christian apostasy and how a Christian waxes cold and gets out? You read Romans chapter 1. Boy, us preachers love to preach against the sodomites here. But I'll tell you what, the church is in here too. This involves you and I. And verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." I'm telling you right now, gratitude, thankfulness, it is the key ingredient in this recipe to service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to wax cold and you want to fall away, you start right there and you stop being thankful. What's the Bible say? In everything, what? Give thanks. In Christ Jesus, for this is the will of God concerning you and I. Amen. No doubt the Christian is called to service. And if it begins with fear, that's okay. But it must progress. The next progression as a soldier of Jesus Christ is duty. And this is admirable. It's honorable. But if fear and duty never progress to gratitude, then you will eventually close away. And I'm gonna close with this. Turn to Genesis chapter 6 and I'm done. I want to show you a guy that went through this natural progression, and I'm done. I want to give you a biblical example. The best illustration that I believe you can find is in the Bible. Amen? And I want to give you a biblical illustration of this. Turn to Genesis chapter 6 and look with me in verse 5. You know the verses. I'm sure you know them well. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Boy, if it repented him then, what do you think he's thinking now? We got to be close. We got to be close. "As in the days of..." "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Look at this. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And these are the generations of Noah. And Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he goes on and gives them the pattern to make the ark. I want to say this. Noah experienced the graduation effect of service for God. And here's how he did it. Amen. It began with fear. No doubt it began with fear. And let me tell you something right now. I'll guarantee you, Christian over there who got called to preach last week at that meeting, when God spoke to his heart through the preaching, I'm sure it scared him. Every time God speaks to you, it ought to scare you. Whether you're reading your Bible or God speaks to you through the preaching, you ought to tremble. Amen. It'll scare you. And when God speaks to Noah, when God speaks to Noah, it had to scare Noah. Besides the fact that Noah was already fearful, the earth was filled with violence. Noah found grace. Here's this shining light in the midst of this wicked world. You telling me Noah wasn't fearful? Listen, Noah begins that ministry, no doubt. Listen, the Bible even says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 that Noah was moved with fear. It's a great motivator. It's okay. It's okay for you and I to start in our service and be moved with fear and to get the ball rolling. There's no doubt that Noah started building this ark and he was moved with fear. But fear alone could never sustain Noah. You know what? The Bible says something interesting. In the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says something crazy. You get no indication of it here in 6, 7, and 8. He was a preacher of righteousness. I don't find anywhere in there where God called him to preach. He must have. Either that, or Noah felt a sense of duty. God's going to destroy. Noah's building this ark. He gets the plans for this ark, 515 feet by 87 by this. And he's looking at that. And, well, if I can get some people saved, God can just recreate the animals. Right? God can do anything. With all things, you know, it's possible with God, right? All things are possible with God, right? Am I quoting that right? I ain't quoting that right. Am I? I'm close. You see what I'm saying? And Noah's out there and he's building and he's preaching to them and he's preaching to them. And as a preacher of righteousness, Noah felt a duty for 120 years to preach to that lost and dying world. How many converts did he have? Duty wasn't enough. Boy, that he had to be discouraged. Right? So now I'm going to read a little bit into the white. Give me a little latitude as a pastor this morning. Noah comes home from another day building the ark with his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And no doubt he's frustrated and he sits down at the table and probably just sitting there like this, you know. And another day of building the ark, another day of answering a fool according to his father. You know he was cruelly mocked. You know they destroyed him every day. Another day of answering another fool according to his folly, or answering not a fool according to his folly. Another day, and Noah's sitting around, and nobody's interested in the ark. Nobody's interested in safety of God, and he's sitting there, and the fire's going, and there's flesh in the pot. And he looks up. And it's just a quiet moment. And he sees Ham, Shem, and Japheth there with their wives. And, you know, they're all together. And they're just, you know, they're talking. And, you know, they're laughing. And, you know, young people, right? They're often doing their thing. And he's just looking at them like this. And he gaze over and he makes eye contact with his wife. And she looks at him, you know, like a wife will look at him like, you know, like, what are you thinking? You know what I mean? And, you know, wives, they like to think they're mind readers. And they are most of the time, by the way. But he makes eye contact with his wife and she makes eye contact with him. And he just looks at her and he looks at his family. And you know what? He came to the realization that God was going to save his whole family. He came to the realization that God had to know that they would reject him. And God still put this plan together for 8 people. And folks, I'm telling you right now, when you get a hold of the fact that if you were the only one on earth that was a sinner, that Jesus Christ would have stopped the world for you and would have come down and would have allowed himself to be destroyed in Calvary just for you, that'll fill you with gratitude like you could never imagine. And I think that Moses moved through that progression, and when he got to that realization that God had done this for his family and his whole family was going to be saved, you know what? He finished his race. He finished the ark. And God commanded him to go in, and God took the stigma and the pressure off of him, and God closed the door. He had no worry about closing the door, and he finished his race. And Christian, I'm telling you, it's going to get as bad as the days of Noah.